The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. here at CNBC Global Headquarters. I'm Frank Holland. Here is your 5 at 5. We start with the records. They just keep coming, with the S&P hitting its 18th new high for the year. Futures, however, pointing to some pressure at the open. Top of the investor agenda today, the Fed and the latest rate decision. We are watching for signals from Jay Powell and company about easing policy. Still in the early stages, what NVIDIA CEO is telling R. Jim Cramer about growth prospects on the back of the big debut of that company's new chips. The FAA chief sounding off on Boeing's recent wave of safety issues. The changes he says needs to happen for the aerospace giant to get back on track. And investors showing a real appetite for shares of Chipotle as the fast casual chain announces a massive stock split. It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. Thank you so much for being here with us. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We're going to turn to the markets with a check of U.S. stock futures following another record-setting day for the markets. Taking a look at futures right now, you can see in the red across the board. Looks like the Dow would open about 15 points higher, so just slightly under some pressure right now. Remember, though, stocks finished higher in a very volatile session yesterday, with the S&P 500 notching its 18th record close for the year. The Dow also seeing its best day in nearly a month. Let's also get a check of the bonds ahead of that big Fed rate decision later today. Taking a look right now, we're seeing the benchmark come in at 4.27. It's risen about 15 basis points since that hotter than expected CPI read just over a week ago. We're going to talk much more about expectations around the Fed coming up. We're also looking at the oil market this morning, continuing its bounce back, hovering right at its highest level since late October. Take a look right now. We see WTI, the U.S. benchmark, trading at basically $82.75 a barrel. However, it is down right now almost 1%. Brent crude trading at basically $86.75 a barrel, also down about 0.75%. Okay, that's your morning money setup. Now we want to see how Europe is shaping up with some fresh inflation data out of the U.K. Our Erbile Gumede is in our London newsroom with much more on the early action. Erbile, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Frank. Look, what you're certainly seeing is that inflation picture is the one that a lot of people will look towards. While we look towards the Fed, of course, a little bit later today, the Bank of England is also anticipated to put out its interest rate decision. 3.4% is the latest inflation reading then out of the UK. That's a drop down from the 4% we had previously. And the market had anticipated 3.5%. So also better than anticipated there. Does it move the timeline, though, for when the Bank of England begins to cut interest rates here in the UK? Well, we'll certainly see as they announce that meeting then, of course. So you're seeing some pressure for the FTSE 100 thus far. CAC 40, though, is the biggest decliner thus far, 0.8%. That's on the back of Kering going down. A significant portion, 14% down. That's because the Gucci maker has actually signaled that Asia Pacific is the specific market then where they're seeing a drawdown in sales, 20% drawdown. That's the second warning they've given to the market. The market not liking it. Luxury stocks all seeing some red across Europe, Frank.
All right, Erbile, thank you very much. All right, now we're going to get some breaking news on chipmaker Intel. The Biden administration announcing that company set to receive the biggest award yet from the CHIPS Act. Megan Casella joins us now with much more on this story. Megan, good morning. How much is Intel set to receive?
Hey, good morning, Frank. It's a big number. So here's how the award breaks down. Intel set to receive $8.5 billion in direct grants to further build out its semiconductor manufacturing efforts in the U.S. Now, that'll be supplemented by up to $11 billion in federal loans, and Intel will tap the investment tax credit, which is going to be worth up to 25% of capital expenditures on things like new facilities. We don't have a dollar figure there, but that'll be a big number as well. Overall, Intel is then expected to invest roughly $100 billion in additional private investment over the next 5 years. And overall, it should create an estimated 30,000 jobs in construction and manufacturing as the company builds new fabs in Arizona and Ohio and modernizes existing facilities in Oregon and New Mexico. The focus for the company here will be on leading-edge chip manufacturing, those most advanced chips, as well as on advanced packaging. Now, Frank, this is a preliminary agreement. There's going to be a long way to go for this money to start flowing and for chip production to actually come online. But it is still a major step toward President Biden's goal of reviving chip production in the U.S. Frank?
All right. So, Megan, again, Intel set to receive the biggest award yet from the CHIPS Act. Shares up just about 2.5% or over 2.5% right now. You mentioned the focus is going to be on leading edge technology. What industries does that impact directly? Of course, this week we're talking a lot about AI chips after that big NVIDIA news conference.
We sure are. That's going to be a really big one. These are the most highly advanced ones. So it's in AI. They're in self-driving cars. I mean, we talk about how chips are in really every item. These most advanced chips, right now the U.S. produces none of them. And these are the ones that are cutting edge, that are in the newest technology. They're also the ones that need to develop the most quickly, right? What's leading edge now won't be leading edge 5 years from now. So these are meant to be manufacturing facilities that can really stay on the cusp there and keep the U.S. more competitive.
All right, so some big news for Intel there. Again, shares up over 2.5%. Our Megan Casella with that news. Megan, thank you very much. Also, want to keep this in mind today. Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger, he's going to have much more on his company securing that CHIPS Act's funding in a First on CNBC interview with our John Fort. That's coming up at 9:30 a.m. Eastern and then again at 4 p.m. on Closing Bell Overtime. Don't want to miss that one. All right, time now to turn back to the markets and the expectations around the Fed's decision later today. We're going to be joined by Seema Shah, Chief Global Strategist at Principal Asset Management. Seema, good morning. It's always good to see you.
Good morning.
All right, so big day for the Fed here in the U.S. today. No decision expected on rates, but a lot of focus on the Jay Powell news conference, of course, and also the FOMC rate expectations. What are your expectations when it comes to the tone and also how the FOMC members, how they see rate cuts going forward?
Sure. This is, as you said, it's quite a pivotal meeting. Now, what we're anticipating is that the dot plot, the Fed dot plot, still holds three cuts for this year. But it's really important to say that this is a very, very fine balance here. You just need two more members to raise their forecast, and you're going to have just two cuts for this year. So I think there's a fairly easy way of seeing that actually you're going to see a slightly more hawkish Fed coming out today. And that's why it's so pivotal. I think for the FOMC members, they have got their concerns. You know, the two very hot inflation reports that we've just had over the last 2 months are raising some doubts about how quickly they can get inflation back to target. So that's going to be the key that we're watching out for from Powell, from the press conference. It's going to be, as I said, very important for markets today and what comes out from this meeting.
You know, Seema, I know you're very focused on that hotter than expected CPI that we got, headline of 3.2%. But I do want to ask you, how big of a factor is that? Jay Powell made it very clear when he was on Capitol Hill, at least, that they're going to continue to look at these inflation reports. And of course, coming up in just about a week and a half, we have PCE, which we often call their preferred gauge.
Right. And the inflation reports that we've had over the last week or so from the CPI and the PPI print gives a fairly good indication of what to expect for the PCE number. And that is also going to be a little bit hotter than what was initially expected. So these are important prints, but you're right to say that, look, we have been expecting this. Well, we haven't been expecting this to be a straight downward line back to the 2% level. It was always going to be quite bumpy and quite a volatile move. But the problem is once you've got two reports like that, there does introduce some hesitation, right, some doubts about how easily the Fed is going to get back to that 2% level. I would say that the next print in March and, of course, April, those are going to be very, very important prints. If they come out stronger than expected, then I think that the market will have quite a significant setback because there will be growing concerns that you're looking at a resurging inflation trend.
All right. So I think here's the real question, especially for investors. I know that you're bullish when it comes to equities here in the U.S., but how much of your thesis is it depending on three rate cuts, the possibility of two rate cuts? Does that change your outlook, at least when it comes to U.S. equities?
It's a great question. So look, for equities, if they were to come out and say just two cuts in the dot plot this year, then maybe that's a bit of a setback for the equity market, but fairly short-lived from a broad perspective, because actually the earnings trajectory is still very strong. And that is really the key company fundamentals which will be driving the equity market. However, when you start to look at pockets like the small cap area, they are fairly dependent on the idea that there will be rate cuts coming through this year. So it just depends on which parts of the market you're looking at. The broad market we think will do well either way this year. It's just the pockets which have been somewhat underappreciated that we have been hoping will have a stronger second half of the year. That is dependent on the rate cut expectation.
Yeah, so many people coming on this show and CNBC in general talking about the small caps. But again, that thesis, as you just mentioned, deeply dependent on the idea of cuts coming this year. Seema Shah, always great to see you. Thank you very much. And if you want more on the markets in the day ahead, go to CNBC Pro at cnbc.com/pro for exclusive insights and analysis. All right, time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau, she's here with those. Silvana, good morning. Good to see you.
Hey, Frank. Good morning to you. We're watching shares of Chipotle jumping after its board approved a 50-for-1 stock split. We're seeing shares move up about almost 5% in the pre-market. Now, the split is subject to shareholder approval at its upcoming annual meeting in early June. And if approved, the shares are expected to begin trading on a post-split basis on June 26. Boeing is reportedly looking at how Spirit AeroSystems could potentially end or sharply reduce its ties to Airbus. According to Reuters, Spirit's work for Boeing's European rival poses complications in its bid to buy its former subsidiary. Meanwhile, the FAA's administrator is sounding off on Boeing's recent wave of high-profile safety issues. In an interview with NBC News, Michael Whitaker says improving safety standards at Boeing is a must.
There are issues around the safety culture in Boeing, that their priorities have been on production and not on safety and quality. And so what we really are focused on now is shifting that focus from production to safety and quality.
And JetBlue scaling back on a service in a number of routes. Now, in a memo to staff seen by CNBC, the carrier will reduce its departures from Los Angeles International Airport from about 34 a day to 24. The apparent move coming as JetBlue looks to cut costs following its failed bid for Spirit Airlines and engine issues that's grounded some of its planes, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. Good to see you. We'll see you later in the show. All right, we got a lot more to come here on Worldwide Exchange, including the WEX word of the day. But first, Jensen Huang's optimistic outlook on NVIDIA, what he's telling our Jim Cramer about its road ahead following the debut of the company's new chips. Plus, shares of MicroStrategy getting slapped a bit as its big bet on Bitcoin is biting back right now. And then later, the CEO of Mobileye talks exclusively with us on a newly announced partnership with one auto giant tapping into its tech. A very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
What does it mean to be rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. At Edward Jones, our dedicated financial advisors are the people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Because the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Learn more about our comprehensive approach to planning at edwardjones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your big money movers. We're going to start with MicroStrategy. Lower again this morning after falling as much as 18% yesterday. The decline reflecting similar moves in Bitcoin as MicroStrategy scoops up more than 9,000 additional Bitcoins. This follows the company's purchase of 12,000 Bitcoins following a debt sale last week. Shares down almost 3.5%. Supermicro also extending yesterday's losses. The company announcing it plans to sell 2 million shares, which would raise around $2 billion based on Monday's closing price. The stock was the worst performer in the S&P yesterday, but has surged more than 2% just this year alone. Shares of Supermicro down just about 2%. Also, Macy's confirming to CNBC it's agreed to open its books to suitors Arkhouse Management and Brigade Capital Management. The department store is currently weighing an improved takeover bid from both of those investment firms for $24 a share. Macy's had previously rejected the initial offer of $21 a share, saying it lacked what they called compelling value. Shares of Macy's essentially flat, just fractionally lower right now. All right, turning our attention to an earnings coming up later today. Micron reports fiscal second quarter results after the close. Wall Street's really interested in hearing about the memory chip maker's growth in the AI space, and they see plenty of upside for the stock, which has already jumped more than 60% over the past year. Micron recently started mass production of high bandwidth chips that will be used in NVIDIA's new Blackwell GPU. NVIDIA stock, however, it fell as much as 4% yesterday before turning around as CEO Jensen Huang spoke to analysts at the company's GTC event. He also spoke to our Jim Cramer, saying AI investments are just in the early stages, predicting tremendous growth ahead.
Well, we're in the beginning of this AI computing ramp, and we're in the beginning of the accelerated computing ramp.
Well, how do and you gonna, decide
it's
going to
last? It's going to last a few years.
All right, let's talk much more about NVIDIA, Micron, and the entire chip sector. Jordan Klein is a tech, media, and telecom desk-based analyst at Mizuho. Jordan, good morning. Great to have you here.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Frank.
All right, so I think the best place to kind of pick up here is on Jensen Huang, or just now Jensen. I think we're all on first-name basis with the guy now. We see him so much. He talked to our Jim Cramer, those comments right there. He also went on to say at the GTC event, NVIDIA is an everything company, chips, software, infrastructure. In your mind, how much is that real? How much is that hype?
Well, I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt just because of what he's accomplished and what he's done over the last three, four decades. So I actually think it's not hype. I do think that there's a lot they still have to prove in areas outside of just these accelerated compute GPUs, but they're moving very quickly into software, into new areas that they've never been. And the one thing I think that's so positive for this path of diversification is that they have all these partners that want to work with them, partially because of this new, you know, drive for more AI everywhere globally, but also because they have the best product out there.
All right, let's talk about one of their partners, Micron. So ahead of earnings, your colleague Vijay Rakesh, he has a buy rating, $105 price target, implies about a 10% upside. Very optimistic. I want to ask you, though, has the outlook for this company changed following that announcement from NVIDIA that Micron will essentially be a supplier for this new Blackwell platform?
Well, I would say before the GTC event and the Blackwell announcement, it was very well understood and known, basically because of communications from Micron management, that they were qualified and would be selling these new high bandwidth memory chips that would go along with the not only the Blackwell that's going to come out late this year, but the existing Hopper. So you're going to have to hear on the call from them how that's tracking. It really starts to ramp up, you know, in their August ending Q4, and then much more into their next fiscal year 2025 that kind of begins starting in September and onward. So yeah, you'll hear pretty much a lot about high bandwidth memory and their relationship with NVIDIA tonight on their earnings call.
All right. So I also want to talk about some of their other businesses because they play in other verticals, not just working with NVIDIA. They have other businesses that they're focused on. So what's your outlook for some of the other businesses that Micron provides chips for?
Yeah, see, that's a great question because everyone right now is all AI, right? Everything. It's a craze. It's a frenzy. And you're right. It's a minute part of their revenues at present. Where most of their revenues come from is smartphones, PCs, some auto and industrial, and a lot of data center and enterprise servers. And for the most part, those areas are still soft. So I don't think that investors are expecting any quick snapback. I think what they want to hear is that inventories are kind of coming down in those end markets and demand is stable to maybe starting to improve a little bit. I think the biggest area that will be a focus is the enterprise server area. Our company starting to spend.
Very quickly, Jordan, before we let you go, some Intel news today. Intel going to be the biggest beneficiary of the CHIPS Act, shares up 2.5%. What's your take on that news?
That was very well telegraphed. Even at Intel's big event that they hosted a couple weeks ago, they had a speech by Gina Raimondo, who basically said to expect a large award coming. It's good news, but again, I think it's kind of priced into the stock. It may move up. I would also say that one of the catalysts for Micron is that they're very well positioned to get government money as well, probably in the coming months.
Interesting. And I got to amend what I said earlier. Intel shares up almost 3.5% now, moving higher during this interview. Maybe, Jordan, you got a positive correlation to Intel. On a serious note, great to see you. Thank you for the time and the insight.
You got it. Have a great day.
Coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, putting in FaceTime while Apple CEO Tim Cook's visit to one key market may be more about just setting up shop. Stay with us.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway
The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
And welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your morning call sheet. We start with Oppenheimer raising its price target on NVIDIA to $1,100 from $850 following the unveiling of the company's new AI chip on Monday. Oppenheimer believes NVIDIA is best positioned to benefit from full-stack AI hardware and software solutions. Barclays is reinstating coverage of Broadcom with an overweight rating and a price target of just over $1,400. It says the company joins its preferred names this year as another way to play what it calls the second wave of AI, and its growing software business helps to boost profitability. KeyBank giving a big boost to its price target on Netflix, raising it from $705 from $580. It's also seeing signs of the quality of Netflix's content is improving, which creates a clear catalyst as engagement should drive a ramp in both prices, price increases, and also ad revenue. Time now for your global briefing. Apple CEO Tim Cook posting on his Chinese social media page. He's currently in Shanghai. The company's new retail store opens in that city tomorrow. So far, no word on if Cook will actually be there. His visit comes as Apple contends with falling iPhone sales in China and growing competition from Chinese rivals like Huawei. Shares of Samsung jumping more than 5% on reports. NVIDIA is looking to buy its next generation chips. At the same time, Samsung says it expects $100 million or more of revenue to come from its next batch of chips this year and is working to achieve greater profit share than its market share. And Gucci owner Kering forecasting a 10% revenue decline for the first quarter. The company says sales, they're continuing to slow, especially in the Asia-Pacific region. Kering previously issued a profit warning due to planned investments in its fashion houses to reinvigorate the core brand. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, laying out the Fed's rate path, the key question our next guest plans to ask Jay Powell following the central bank's latest policy decision. And as CNBC celebrates Women's Heritage Month, we are sharing the stories of some of our newly named CNBC Changemakers, an annual list of 50 women who are innovating and transforming business. As we head to break, here is Cloudflare co-founder and president Michelle Zappa.
For me, a changemaker is someone who forges their own path and makes it wide enough that others can come along with them. One thing I wish I'd known when I was starting my career is that there is a difference between something that is impossible and something that is just hard. And the reason why that is important is people can do hard things. You have to ask yourself, okay, is this just hard or is it impossible? Because impossible is impossible to do, but something that's hard may be a self-imposed constraint, and people can do hard things.
Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Collins. Get you ready for the train day ahead. We're going to turn to the markets and a check of U.S. stock futures. Following another record-setting day for the markets, taking a look at futures right now, we are seeing them under a bit of pressure. Looks like the Dow would open about 18 points lower, the S&P and the NASDAQ both firmly in the red as well. So we got to remember, yesterday, however, stocks, they finished higher in what was kind of a volatile session. With the S&P notching its 18th record close for the year, the Dow's also seeing its best day in nearly a month. And this morning, we're also watching shares of Intel on the back of that breaking news that the Biden administration is announcing the company is set to receive the biggest award yet from the CHIPS Act, nearly $20 billion in both grants and loans. Taking a look at shares right now, you see they're up just about 3.5%. Big spike here for Intel. You're seeing right after this news, our Megan Casella broke the news just a short time ago right here on Worldwide Exchange. All right. Markets, of course, they are preparing for the big event, the Fed's latest rate decision. It's due out at 2 p.m. Eastern, and that's followed by Chairman Jerome Powell's press conference at 2:30. The central bank's expected to hold rates steady ahead of that decision. Bond traders are stepping up short bets against treasuries and buying derivatives on increasing expectations. The Fed will scale back the market's expectations for interest rate cuts this year. That sentiment being echoed in the latest CNBC Fed survey, with respondents continuing to peg June as the most likely month for a rate cut. But confidence in that happening, it's slipping a bit from 59% to 59% from 70% in our previous survey. For more, let's bring in Gina Smilek, New York Times Federal Reserve and economy reporter. She joins us on the CNBC Newsline. Gina, good morning. It's always great to see you.
Good morning for having me. Thank you for having me.
Always great to have you. So your most recent article, it really focused on some concerns about, you know, inflation being more persistent than we previously thought. You're also focused on that most recent read on inflation with CPI. How big of a factor do you think that is for all the Fed members and for Jay Powell?
You know, I think that they always try and play down 1 month of data, but in this case, we've actually seen CPI kind of flatline over the last 5 or 6 months. And so I think that the fact that we're not seeing the kind of progress that they had been previously enjoying when it comes to those inflation readings, that has to factor into their thinking here. You know, they can't completely ignore the fact that inflation was coming down and that it now seems to be moving in a straight line right around 3%. And so I think, you know, their official target, that personal consumption expenditures number, is still a little bit lower and is expected to stay below 3%, even with the recent pickup in core inflation. But I think they've got to be at least wary that maybe the progress that they've seen, which had been so steady toward the end of last year, might be hitting a little speed bump here.
So you say wary. I think they like to say data dependent. So I want to ask you, and I asked one of our previous guests earlier today, you're looking at headline CPI, and you're saying that's showing sticky inflation. But coming up, we have PCE that we often call their preferred gauge. And generally, I think the most consensus thinking is that they're really focused on core as opposed to headline. So coming up, which one's more important, the PCE coming up or the CPI that we just had?
You know, I think they both matter in their own way. Right. I think that the PCE is the one that they officially target, but the CPI comes out in a lot, you know, a much more timely manner. And so if they're making these decisions, I think they've got to think about what just happened with CPI, because they know based on that the PCE is likely to look a little bit firmer than it otherwise would have. And so I think both of these matter. I think those core numbers, as you referred to, those are the ones that I think they're going to be watching very closely, and particularly what they call core services. So like a measure, core services ex housing, so a measure of things that are really responsive to wage increases. That core services ex housing measure has been a little bit firmer than I think anybody had expected over the last couple of months, and I think that's going to be making them a little bit nervous, because they think that's the measure they can move the dial on by cooling or slowing down the economy. Okay. And the fact that it's picking up is obviously not good news from their perspective.
All right, so we're really focused on the rate decision, but the Fed's got a lot of business to get handled in this meeting where you will be there. You're actually going to be there in the room. The other one is the FOMC rate expectations. A lot of people call that the dot plot. And also their summary of economic projections, which includes their GDP outlook. What are you expecting from that?
Yeah, you know, I think the economic projections are going to be the really closely watched thing at this meeting. It's kind of all about the dots, because we are expecting that we might see a shift in the dots. Previously, we saw an expectation for 3 rate cuts this year. It's entirely possible that that's going to fall back to 2 rate cuts. So a slightly dialed back expectation for how much they're going to lower borrowing costs this year. I think that would be pretty notable if that happened, obviously, especially if it came alongside a sort of upgrade in how much growth we're expecting to see, and if it came alongside a downgrade in how much disinflation we're expected to see. I think I'll be very closely watching to see what those economic projections do. And then we also, you know, we might hear something about the balance sheet at this meeting. We know that the Fed's going to discuss it. So I think it's actually quite a lot of moving parts at this meeting.
Yeah, quite a few. And you're going to be looking, you know, eye to eye with Jay Powell later. You're going to be in that room able to ask a question. So I want to ask you, what question, if you can tell us, if you can telegraph it to us a bit, what question do you plan to ask, or what question do you think needs to be asked, addressed, or just maybe what needs to be clarified?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on where I fall in the order, but I think one thing that I'm really interested in is he suggested that, you know, the time for rate cuts is going to come soon at his congressional testimony a few weeks ago. And A, I want to know what that soon meant. You know, how quickly are we talking here? And B, I want to know, you know, and why would you cut rates at a moment when inflation seems to be stubborn and growth is really solid? Like, what do you see as the risk or the threat that is so significant to the economy that it's worth taking that risk of doing it prematurely? And so I think some version of that would be my question.
All right, Gina Smilek, thank you for being here as always. Appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you so much.
All right, time now for checking some of this morning's top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau, she's back with those. Silvana.
Hey, Frank, I'm back. Good morning. Chevron CEO Mike Wirth speaking out on the company's deal to buy Hess for $53 billion. Now, this coming one day after Exxon CEO Darren Woods told CNBC Exxon is not trying to acquire Hess while it disputes with Chevron over its Guyana oil assets. Now, speaking with CNBC last night, Wirth says he's confident the deal will go through.
Confident in our understanding of the contract. We're confident that the arbitration will affirm our understanding of the contract, and that seems to be the path to resolution of this.
New regulations around U.S. vehicles could be underway. The Biden administration is reportedly expected to announce new auto emission standards that relax proposed tailpipe limits for 3 years before eventually reaching the same standards set by the Environmental Protection Agency. The changes, which could be unveiled as soon as today, come as sales of electric vehicles show signs of slowing. The auto industry has cited lower sales growth when arguing against the EPA standards around passenger vehicles. And speaking of EVs, the U.S. is accusing two men of stealing Tesla trade secrets. One of the two men is being held in New York without bail after meeting with undercover agents on Long Island and attempting to sell them technology used to produce Tesla battery parts. Both men are former employees of a Canadian battery producer that Tesla acquired back in 2019. Prosecutors say they had access to drawings and other documents that allowed others to copy the manufacturing process, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, a CNBC exclusive with the CEO of Mobileye and how his company's tech is helping VW go hands-free. But first, we have your top trending stories. We're going to start off with the U.S. possibly wanting to take a page out of Europe's playbook. The annual World Happiness Report ranking the U.S. as the 23rd happiest country. That's down 8 spots from last year and marking a new all-time low. Nordic countries dominating the top 10, Finland right at the top. Pepsi notching a win in its battle with Coke. Subway announcing it will start exclusively serving Pepsi beverages in the U.S. next year, replacing all Coca-Cola products. The sandwich chain will continue to sell Frito-Lay snacks through 2030, along with a larger selection of Gatorade beverages. And speaking of winners, another victory for Taylor Swift. Her Eras Tour movie breaking Disney Plus records as the number one most streamed music film, bringing in nearly 5 million views within the first 3 days of its release. Swifties have watched more than 16 million hours of this movie since its release. Wow. Worldwide Exchange coming back right after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Hands-free driving has come under increased scrutiny recently following accidents involving vehicles where those systems were partially or fully engaged. But Mobileye believes the technology is improving and will be embraced by more drivers all around the world. The company announcing a major deal with Volkswagen today. Our Phil LeBeau joins us now with an exclusive interview with Mobileye CEO. Phil, over to you.
Thank you, Frank. Let me bring in Amnon Shashui, the CEO of Mobileye, joining us from London today. Amnon, let's talk about this partnership with Volkswagen. How quickly will you be able to bring limited hands-free driving to some of the luxury brands in the VW portfolio?
Well, hello, Phil, and good morning, and good morning, everyone. I think that the interest here is an endorsement of our full product portfolio of autonomous driving. We're talking about 2026 timeframe. We're talking about double figure of car models of the Volkswagen Group, including Porsche and Audi and Bentley and other brands of the group. And autonomous driving is coming in three steps. The first step is, hands off, but eyes on, meaning the driver is responsible to pay attention. But the car can drive autonomously everywhere on highways and urban roads. That's called supervision in our product portfolio. The next step is on limited roads like highways, the car can drive hands-free and eyes off, meaning the driver can not pay attention and do something else legally-wise. And we're talking about a use case of 130 kilometers per hour, driving from point to point. And then the next step with the Volkswagen commercial vehicles is the self-driving vehicle to power robotaxis on the ID. Buzz platform. So everything is coming, converging to the end of 2026.
It is coming quickly, Amnon, but just last week, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety out with a pretty scathing report where it analyzed advanced driver assist systems, many of them hands-free, that are in a number of vehicles already being sold. And essentially they said, look, this technology is not ready for prime time. And it raises the question, are you seeing more people questioning how quickly this technology comes to market than perhaps we saw 2 years ago when there was a bit of a frenzy regarding hands-free driving?
Well, I think that when we're talking about autonomous driving, there are three chapters to this story. It's more nuanced than just, you know, robotaxis. One chapter is safety. Today, driving assist is primarily based on a front-facing camera or front-facing radar and provides limited safety. When you have a system based on 360-degree awareness of cameras and other sensors, you can provide a much higher degree of safety regardless of whether the driver is hands-off or not hands-off. So this is one chapter. Supervision product or chauffeur product provide that level of safety. Second is providing this value proposition of buying back your time where you can legally not pay attention to the road. And then the third chapter is the robotaxis, in which is having a higher utility of moving people on commercial vehicles. In order to create a good and safe eyes-on, hands-off system, you need also a driving monitoring system. And you need to have a very, very fine-tuned driving monitoring system to make sure that the driver does not abuse the system, does not rely too much on an eyes-on system and does not pay attention. I think when there's a good integration with
Amnon,
a driving monitoring system...
I hate to interrupt you, Amnon, but a quick question before Frank has one. Would you admit that most people who are using these systems around the world, whether yours or somebody else, most drivers are not supervising them, their driving, that they're kind of autopiloting. They're saying, well, it's on, I don't need to pay attention. Would you at least admit that?
We have, in China, we have 200,000 such vehicles. And I think the level of safety that those vehicles provide are much, much higher than the level of safety of current driving assist. And combined with a good driving monitoring system, I think it provides much higher safety levels than anything out on the road today.
Frank, I know you have a question. Go ahead.
Hey, Amnon, how you doing? Frank Holland back here at CNBC headquarters. Thanks for being here on Worldwide Exchange. I want to switch gears just a bit. Intel continues to be your largest shareholder. Some big news here in the U.S. with the CHIPS Act, getting the biggest amount of funding out of any company so far for leading edge technology. Will that have any impact on your business?
No, we are separate business. Intel is of course the majority shareholder of Mobileye, but Mobileye is a public company acting on its own. Our relationship with Intel is very important. The possibility to have a second source to our chip manufacturing, some technologies of imaging radars are coming from Intel. So we have a very strong and healthy relationship with Intel.
Amnon Shashui. Amnon, thank you for joining us this morning from our London Bureau on a big day as Mobileye, Frank, announces a major partnership with Volkswagen, bringing limited hands-free driving to the luxury brands within the VW portfolio. Frank, I'll send it back to you.
All right, Phil LeBeau, thank you very much for bringing that interview to us. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, the one word that every investor needs to know today, plus the pivots our next guest says to make with your portfolio on dwindling rate cut hopes. And if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your WEX wrap-up. We start with the White House reaching a preliminary agreement with Intel to provide more than $19 billion in funding and loans as part of the CHIPS Act. Combined with Intel's investments, the funding will provide over $100 billion worth of manufacturing investments. Shares of Intel now up just about 4.5%. Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger will have more on this in a first on CNBC interview. That's coming up at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, then again at 4 p.m. Speaking of chips, the U.S. is reportedly considering blacklisting a number of Chinese chip firms linked to Huawei. If a ban were enacted, it would mark another escalation in the U.S. fight against China's AI and semiconductor ambitions. Shares of Chipotle, they're soaring this morning. The fast food chain announcing a 50-for-1 split of its common stock, which, if approved, will give shareholders 49 additional shares for every one that's currently held. Shares of Chipotle up just about 5%. Macy's confirming to CNBC it's opened its books to suitors Arkhouse Management and Brigade Capital Management. Both investment firms have offered to buy Macy's for $24 a share. That's up from the initial offer of $21 a share. Shares of Macy's essentially flat right now. J.P. Morgan boosting its quarterly dividend to 9.5% after notching record profit. It also comes as regulators signal they may want to reconsider proposals for tightening capital rules. And NASDAQ says Bourse Dubai will sell nearly $27 million of stock of the stock exchange operator, reducing its stake to 10% from 15% and making it NASDAQ's second largest shareholder. All right, here's what to watch today. Weekly mortgage applications out at 7:30 a.m. Eastern. Earnings from General Mills, Micron, Chewy, Five Below, and KB Home. Reddit prices its highly anticipated IPO after the close today. And, of course, the Fed releases its latest monetary policy decision at 2 p.m. That's followed by Chair Jay Powell's press conference at 2:30 p.m. All right, ahead of that decision and the Powell press conference, let's get a quick check on futures right now. As we mentioned all morning long, futures have been under a bit of pressure. Looks like the Dow would open about 50 points lower right now. The S&P and the NASDAQ also in the red. Joining me now, Mimi Duff, Managing Director at GenTrust. Mimi, good morning. Always great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, taking a look at futures in the red right now, but we've got to remember the S&P did close at a record high yesterday. Give me a sense. How do you see today shaping up, of course, with the big news later today, the rate decision in the Powell press conference?
Yeah, I would expect the statement to be very much in line with some of the recent commentary of the Fed. And we are going to get the new summary of economic projections. I'd expect those to be more of a mark to market and continue to pencil in, I would imagine, three eases for this calendar year. But we'll be paying closer attention to the Q&A in the press conference.
All right. So with that in mind, by the way, your Wexler of the day today is Fed. It makes perfect sense, I think, to anybody watching right now. But I want to get back to that rate decision and also the path forward for the Fed. You say it's very binary. We just had a bunch of guests on saying it's kind of nuanced, but you're saying it's a very binary situation right now.
That's right. We're looking to play for a range of outcomes. We either see more of the same, meaning sticky inflation, wage pressures continuing. The employment picture is coming into balance, but probably a little slower than the Fed would like. So we either see that scenario where the Fed, it possibly pushes back Fed hikes and we potentially could get zero or one or two Fed hikes this year, or we see a considerable potential for considerable weakening in the economy as rates right now are restrictive. The longer they stay here, there are many segments of the economy that don't work out so well, for instance, like commercial real estate.
All right. I just want to clarify. You said zero, one, two, or three hikes. I think you meant to say cuts, right? We could see zero, one, two, three cuts.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I did say cuts. And thank you for paying attention this early morning.
Well, you know what, Mimi? That's my job. And your job is to look for opportunities in the markets. And I know you're not giving us a stock pick, but you're giving us a general sector pick today. I really want to dig into this with you. Your pick is infrastructure. So I want to ask you, why infrastructure? Why right now? And in your mind, is infrastructure impacted by the Fed decision and cuts?
Yeah, so we've liked infrastructure for some time, but we continue to see further upside. We think infrastructure can outperform the broader markets. It's supported by the Inflation Reduction Act and many other segments. We don't think that it is dependent upon rate stabilization or rates coming down per se. We do think there's broad support for the sector.
And by the way, we're showing the audience, these are not your picks, but there's a bunch of ways to play infrastructure. The material sector, often seen as one way to play it. Some other ETFs as well, IFRA, the PAVE ETF as well. So right now, of course, again, we're waiting for this decision. We're in a higher for longer. You say some parts of the economy are going to be hurt by this higher for longer. Infrastructure is a place you'd put some money. But I want to talk to you about the consumer. If we see these rate cuts push back more, how does that impact things like consumer discretionary and consumer staples in your mind?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the consumer has gotten used to these higher rates, but at this point, savings have been drawn down. So the longer we stay here, we do think there'll be a drag on the consumer over time. We do have the resumption of the student loan payments that occurred last fall. So it's more of a matter of just, you know, if we are higher for longer, there will be a drag. It's going to affect mobility and housing, for instance. Okay. Current mortgages are okay, but looking forward, it will affect those things.
All right, Mimi Duff, we got to leave it there. I know you're also bullish on fixed income. Thank you for being here. Before we let you go, quick look at futures right now. Ahead of that big Fed decision later today, as we mentioned, under pressure. But the S&P did close at a record high yesterday. We're going to leave it there. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.